Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Oh my God, I literally walked into the studio and said, is that my open playing right now? I wasn't sure. I was so dazzled by Sue Thomas's camo pants, man. She is ready for deer camp next week. I'm excited. I'm geared up for it as well, Sue.
Well, I just, the seasons change and then you move and you think, hey, what's that at the bottom of the, oh, my camo pants.
Yes, they look good. I like them a lot. Alexa's got some of that kind of stuff. This is probably going to be, you got to start thinking about this. And I was trying to encourage my wife to have this mindset because, we got the kids, Fred. I'm sure you have the kids coming in for Thanksgiving, right?
Right.
But, that's going to come up on us very quickly.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to encourage planning along those lines. In other words, let's make sure different parts of the house are cleaned up, etc. So we get
That's
good
cute.
Weather right now.
Because you're the one who's going to clean it anyway, so you might as well just face.
It is. I do most, but I don't complain about the cleaning.
You like it, so you should just plan with yourself, I guess is my point.
Well, I do need a little assistance from the other household.
Oh, do you?
Well, you should see, honestly, if FEMA came in and looked at my daughter's room on a daily basis, and the bathroom in particular, and I just look and I shake my head and I don't even know what to do.
It's that bad.
Yeah. And this is the only girl I've had. I've had my boys. I remember in the previous house, we had like one of those Jack and Jill bathrooms.
Yeah.
And so Aiden had one side bedroom. Evan had the other. That was perhaps one of the most disgusting bathrooms I've ever seen in my entire life.
I'm not surprised by this.
I felt like at the time I had cleaners and I ditched my cleaners because I didn't feel like my house was clean. Like I used to have that feeling. There was this one cleaner. I came home and man, the house is clean. I had a 5-bedroom house. It was big, right?
Whoa.
So I, decided to hire people. But then it wasn't that good. But the bathrooms were so bad that I would actually pre-clean because I felt so bad for the cleaners. I'm like, man, guys, boys are disgusting, right?
Yeah,
Fred?
No, they really.
They are disgusting.
How was it in your house, Fred? You had two boys. Did Marie crack the whip over there?
Oh, we all knew better.
See.
But what I was going to say about this weekend, this might be like the weekend I'm trying to do projects. I got off track here. But all the fall stuff is kind of downstairs and all the, the polos, the short sleeve and stuff I have in the master bedroom closet. I'm sorry, primary bedroom. Oh,
yes,
my God.
Yes, thank you.
So racist of me here. And this might be that weekend, although I'm going to the Mizzou game on Saturday, so I have limited time to do that. Would anyone like to come over and organize? I have Shannon, my organizer. Shannon listens, and she was... So one time, this was back when
you
I
have
first...
have an organizer?
Well, yeah. Do you remember the story on this? So I went to my shrink.
I haven't processed this yet.
Hang on. I'll tell you how it happened, all right? So I'm... The first time I dealt with all this anxiety stuff was 2013. So when I first met my shrink, my former doctor, Dr. Smith, who was awesome and she just retired, I was telling her that, man, I can't keep up with folding laundry and stuff like that. She goes, oh, you need my home organizer. And I'm like, yes, I do. And she introduced me to Shannon. And Shannon would This is so embarrassing, but I'm just going to tell you what happened. She would come over every week, and she would fold the laundry, and she would do a variety of other things.
Are you kidding
When
me?
We had, like, things, like, let's say Christmas is going to get unpacked or packed up, Shannon would help with that.
Uh-huh.
She was very yeah. helpful. Now, mm-hmm. that was a budgetary line item that had to go away because of some veto provisions that I had in the household. But it was nice to have that, but then I started kind of taking it all on my own because, sadly, I had the time to do it.
Yes.
You know, home organizers, those two, I'm telling you, they Fred, can help you out a lot.
How's your home organizer? Oh, wait, is that just you?
That's me and Marie. We
yeah,
handle
same.
That on our own.
Ethan, how's yours?
It's me and the lady.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Well,
yep.
now it's me.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Now
okay,
I'm not. I'm not.
Right.
There's no outside help at this point. I'm doing it all on my own, and my wife is doing it. My daughter is making the house a mess. Now, we also got into this discussion a few minutes ago. The weather is beautiful. Did you get out today, Sue?
A little bit, but okay. not as much as I'd like.
You went to Forest Park yesterday, I think you said.
Yes,
you walked,
and it was
right?
gorgeous.
I think we're down to the final days of really, really nice weather, unfortunately, which is, you know, it's going to happen. We're
when
into November.
When does the drop-off happen?
That's what I'm going to look here.
Okay.
Sunday.
Yeah, I think it's Sunday morning in particular. So here we're looking at right now, it's a beautiful 67 degrees in downtown St. Louis. Tomorrow, 72. So that's nice. 64 and cloudy on Saturday. Listen to Sunday's high, 38.
No.
The low down to 25. Monday's high, 40. The low down to 25. And this kind of trends that way through next week. But what I was mentioning before the show, and this is like in his contract, so he has to do this, Ethan, as the, you know, Fred's the executive producer. Ethan's the associate producer of the show. We get to this time every year. Fred, you know this.
Oh, yeah.
At 5:50, it is the responsibility of the producer to tell me and remind me to remote start my car. So then when I go out there, my car is warm. This has to happen. It's a standard protocol on the Mark Reardon Show. And there's fines that are typically levied if the job is not done properly. So then Ethan said, and this is where the elitism comes out. He said, well,
it's
can't.
Already come out.
Yeah, I know.
Home organizer.
This is all elitists all the time. Uh-huh. At least I'm self-aware about uh-huh. it, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
mostly.
Ethan says, now you lost your spare key, right?
Yes.
So what does that mean for you?
So that means that I am no longer, unless I am to magically find this spare key, I'm not going to be able to go out in the mornings or at the end of the day and start my car with one key and lock it with the other
right.
while
so
I'm waiting.
I was so confused by this as an elitist because I'm like, Ethan, you go in there, you press the button, you start the car, you take your key with you. But then he had to tell me, I didn't realize people were still using keys with their cars. Yeah. I haven't used a key with a car in 10 years, probably.
He was trying to actively explain to me how why just take your key with you. I'm like, Mark, I can't do that. It is in the ignition. And he said, what is your car from 1997? And I said, try 2014.
Okay, well, that makes sense. It is. How about your car, Fred?
2015, I still use a key in
okay.
the ignition.
But do you have a fob option? You have to put a key in there.
I have a fob that will open the car door, but
okay.
I have to turn
but you
the
still
key.
Have
I gotta
to
use the key.
All right, there's no button
right,
there.
So I right. can't just
so you have fancy cars like me.
Well,
you
no,
have buttons.
I have a 2022 that I'm driving now that's a stick shift, and that's half the reason that I... Well, anyway,
can
my point
warm,
to you is
can you
this.
Warm up that bad boy
I can
with
use
the remote
a fob.
Start?
No, okay. I cannot. What? You know what? I haven't tried. I might be able to. I don't think it's fancy.
The
enough.
Other problem is that I just went through this thing. Like, if I go to my app right now where I start my car, for some reason, it's not like I'm not logged in, and I think I might have to start the whole account over again, which kind of sucks. But I'll do it by Monday because it's going to be cold.
What was I going to say? Boo hoo. That's what I was going to say.
Wait, the world's
wait
smallest
a second.
Violin.
Oh, it just let me in. Hold on a second here.
Uh-huh.
This will be awesome.
Are you really about to test it, start your car right now?
Well, do you remember the story about what happened in the winter, last winter or spring?
There was a couple of issues with it, wasn't
yeah.
there?
Yeah, ran all day.
Oh, yeah, that one. That
well,
was
half
fun.
An hour. I
oh,
did.
Just well, half hour.
Because what had happened
I
is
it ran all day.
Yeah, I did too.
It ran
it did.
All
it ran
afternoon.
All day because you came, you went out to your
oh, it
car
did.
And it was
yeah.
already
no,
running.
You're right. Yeah,
yeah.
That's right.
And
it did.
And it had a half tank of gas. That's what you're thinking of.
Yes.
You had used a half tank of gas.
No, that's not true. I hadn't used that much gas. You guys are correct. What had happened was is somehow I didn't realize that my car was not off, and I locked it, and then I come in and do the show, and then 4 hours later, I'm like clicking the remote. I'm like, wait a second. Something's weird. And the car had been on for 4.5 hours, but realistically, it did not. If you remember, it did not use a lot of gas. But, I mean, it just sat there and idled for four
that's,
and a half
that's
hours.
True. And I guess what we meant when we said all day, That's 4 hours.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, for me, it is.
Right.
Thank you, Fred, for making that very clear. You guys are mean to me. You're like my daughter. My daughter's like the meanest daughter on the planet right now.
Not possible.
Well, you'd be surprised, let me tell you. All right, we got, thankfully today is Thursday. We are getting very close to the weekend, and we got a lot to cover here this afternoon. Mike Gonzalez, who is with Heritage and wrote a book called Next Gen Marxism. Boy, he saw it coming with Mom Donnie. He's going to join us here in a few minutes. There is a guy that wrote a piece in The Federalist about male teachers that are non-existent. And, you know, my son is a middle school teacher in Chicago, and there are not a lot of men that men get jobs pretty easily because there is a crisis there. So Scott Yenner is going to kind of weigh in on that. We have a Thursday edition of Sue's News, Charles Lipson in the next hour, and a whole lot more as we get through, plus an audio cut of the day. The roundtable is tomorrow. Jane Duker will be here. Gene Evans and Jeff Rainford all on the panel. We'll get with Cusimano as the Mizzou Tigers take on Texas A&M with a new starting quarterback. Tim Sumner will be here talking music. Before we get to a break, and Mike Gonzalez coming up here in a couple of minutes. So I had, when I went in last night, I had my YouTube TV on, which still doesn't have ESPN. But the thing that came up right away was the Blues game, because it wasn't on the Amazon. I get Blues and Cardinals on my Amazon app, you know, with
FanDuel.
But that game was on national TV last night, right?
TNT.
With the Capitals. So it came right up when I turned on YouTube TV. I made the mistake of pressing play.
Big mistake.
And it was like 1-0, 2-0, 3-0. Now, when it was 3-0, was that the Ovechkin goal or was the fourth?
I think so.
It was the third, right?
I'm not super confident
so
in that answer.
He gets his. We have the play by play of this, right?
Yeah, it's under NHL.
Okay, hang on, because there's things under NHL and then there's things under some else here. So this is Alex Ovechkin, who I think is 63 years old, playing in the NHL right now.
Alex Ovechkin, first player in National Hockey League history to reach that magic number.
That is incredible. That really is. But then Jordan Binnington said something weird, right? Can you explain what happened here?
So,
do you know this story, Sue?
No.
Okay. So, it's a little bizarre.
Last night, after Alex Ovechkin scores his 900th career NHL goal, first player in NHL history to do so, Jordan Binnington, who the goal was scored on, picks the puck up. He skates off to the side of the rink, you know, kind of like you do after you allow a goal. You kind of skate off, and you know, and he stuffs the game or the puck that the goal was scored on
into the side of
his pants.
Okay, I saw that, and somebody had a good shot of it.
Yes.
So what are we assuming that he's doing with that?
I have some audio. Is this him explaining it?
No, this is the commentary talking about
okay,
it. It's pretty
fun. All right, so let's play this.
He does some things. Watches after the goal is scored, he's got the puck. Watch what he does with the puck. He's going to keep it in his pants. I don't know if he wants to sell it on the open market or not, but they're not going to get that puck from Binnington, but that is until linesman Michel Cormier came over and said, hey, we know you got the puck, buddy.
Good job catching that. There's cameras everywhere, guys.
Tremendous.
His eBay account would have been popping off after this game had he pulled that heist off.
I mean, so what's the deal? Does that happen? Because what it reminded me of, we had the guy on, the father and son that caught the baseballs at the World Series, and they had fake balls so they could throw it back on the field and not throw the ball that they just caught, which I thought was very, you know, pretty state-of-the-art fandom there,
yeah,
I think.
Was.
So what happened here?
I think that this was gamesmanship. I think that Jordan Binnington, you know, at times during his career has kind of had that reputation of being the villain. Now, it was more so earlier in his career, but I think that's kind of what he was trying to do here.
Just kind of mess with him a little
bit.
He
was quoted saying, when asked about it, I basically had an assist on the goal there, you know, I think probably, you know, pointing out some fault in himself.
Yes.
He said, turning the puck over, didn't think he'd mind sharing the puck. I had full intention to give it back to him. Yeah, full intention to give it back. That's what he said. So this sounds to me like good fun.
Yes,
and social media kind of doing their thing, saying, oh my gosh, Jordan Binnington, well, he has a history of doing this stuff, so he was clearly trying to just take it from Ovechkin.
It's kind of funny, though.
And then, super funny.
Can I ask a question? Because after all that excitement last night, I kind of turned it off. I saw 4-0. Did the Blues ever score in that game?
Yeah, they did
6-1.
Score. 6-1 was the final. And tonight, Jordan Kyrou is a healthy scratch. So Jim Montgomery clearly making something known.
So they're playing back-to-back games?
Yeah, they play Buffalo tonight.
Buffalo. And what did I tell you? Knowing nothing about hockey, I just said he's going to get fired just because that's what they do.
I'm not there yet.
Okay, I'm not saying I'm there. I'm not saying he deserves to be fired. I'm just saying it's you go on a thing like this and what
traditionally,
happens?
Traditionally, yes. But, boy, Doug Armstrong would look really bad if that was the case when, you know, they just gave out this five-year extension
for a guy
that, you know, just a couple years ago broke the NHL record for the most points won by a team in a single season. It would be extremely surprising if that was the
direction. I'm not hoping that happens. I don't want to be misunderstood.
Yes,
I have nothing against the guy. I don't know enough about hockey to even say if he's a good coach or he's not a good coach. I just know the team's not very good right now. Here's a quote from my daughter last night. Oh, the Blues kind of suck, don't they? She was watching the game.
Well, maybe you need to start wearing that hat that she got you for Christmas. Maybe that'll turn the luck around a little bit.
Hey.
Oh, you know what? But this is the time of year for me to start wearing that. She got me the Blues stocking cap, right?
Well,
is that the one?
You got the stocking cap. You also have the hat that you said you were never going to wear. Remember that one?
Oh, I never wore that one.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Yeah, we're going to have a lot of things to talk about on the roundtable tomorrow with Jane, Gene Evans, and Jeff Rainford. Very much looking forward to that. Right now, this guy kind of saw some of this coming, Mike Gonzalez, who is at the Heritage Foundation and wrote a book called Next Gen Marxism, What It Is, How to Combat It. Some of this is now taking place in New York City. Mike Gonzalez, welcome back to 97.1 FM Talk. How are you this afternoon?
I've been doing a lot of these interviews today, and I have to say, half in jest, I'm torn. Really bad things are going to happen to New York City, a city that I love. But my book, Next Gen Marxism, is selling really well.
Yeah. Well, for unfortunate reasons, right? I mean, you saw a lot of us, you in particular, and your co-authors saw the writing on the wall. But what's the real the reality of the dynamic here with Mondani. You know, one thing that even the gang on CNN noticed the other night is he, and I get it from sitting here in the Midwest, he's a pretty good looking guy. He seems slick. He's smart. He can answer the questions. He's appealing to young people. But then he does this speech on election night. It was a little bit more angry, Mondani. David Axelrod and Van Jones even noticed that. Well, now that he's going to be sworn in January, he can pretty much start doing what he wants. He doesn't have to be careful about anything because he's already voted in.
So this is not only was it angry, Mondani, he said some really worrisome things. He said one of them was there's no problem too big for government to solve, and there's no issue too small for government to be interested in. That last part has a word, has a description. It's called totalitarianism.
Yeah.
When the government enters every nook and cranny of your life, that's totalitarian, which is in the continuum of tyranny, a worse state than authoritarianism. Authoritarians just want you to toe the line, but they don't care what you think. They don't care what religion you are. They don't care, you know, what time you wake up, what time you have breakfast, etc. Totalitarians want to control the totality of your actions. And if there's no issue too small for government to take an interest in, Mondani is showing a totalitarian streak. Now, that's the most worrisome part. The other part where he says there's no issue too big for government to solve, we know that is not the case. That's why communism fails everywhere. And the people who voted for him apparently thought that they were going to make communism succeed. And that's just stupid.
Well, and you wonder, I have some audio from the gang at TMZ where they have younger people who are trying to describe maybe the appeal of Mamdani. And I just wonder how much he's going to be able to get done when it comes to all the rent control and all that. And if he can't fulfill the promises, and let's face it, Mike, on many of the economic promises, politicians make these promises all the time. They have limited control over this. So is he just going to be a guy that is going after Trump all the time? Or is he going to try to transform New York City? Or is it going to be a combination of both, I suppose?
Hopefully, the institutions of New York will hold and be able to limit the damage that he can do. And I fervently hope that is the case. But a mayor can do a lot of hurt. I am a New Yorker in that I immigrated to New York in the 70s. I have lived under good mayors and bad mayors. Abraham Beam was very bad in the 70s. Dinkins was horrific in the late 80s and early 90s. You couldn't take the subway. You couldn't take. You couldn't walk down the street on Broadway in the Upper West Side. And then Giuliani came in, and he was a good mayor. He fixed everything. So, no, mayors can do stuff. Mayors can tell the police not to arrest and can tell the prosecutors not to prosecute.
Right. Yeah.
And that will create a lot of damage.
So Mike, how do you, I read this yesterday from Matt Walsh and I said this, and you know, there's such, and you know this because you wrote a book about this, but there are a lot of broader concerns here. It's not just New York City. We want to see where this is going to go through the rest of the country. And unfortunately these younger people are, you know, attracted to a lot of this. But one of the things, and I guess even in the aftermath of the Victory Party, you had folks like Mehdi Hasan and, you know, this Palestinian guy from Colombia, Mahmoud Abbad, and then this woman, Jennifer Welch, and I don't know who she is, but she says at the Victory Party, Americans, I could play this audio, but it's hard to hear. Americans have no culture except for multiculturalism. Crusty white people need to learn how to embrace it. I guess I'm a crusty white person. So Matt Walsh says this. This is the enemy, wretched, evil parasites motivated by resentment and hatred, openly plotting to erase our culture and identity and replace it with a dystopian communist hodgepodge of third world dysfunction. This is the fight for now and the future. Get in the game. This is it. It's kind of hard to argue against that, given the time that we're in, isn't it?
What that woman didn't understand is that she was repeating almost word for word what a group called the Transnationalists said about a century ago, about 110 years ago. Horace Callan, Randolph Bourne, and other intellectuals at the height of the Ellis Island immigration, they said American culture sucked, American culture was not worth assimilating to, that the best thing that could happen with the immigrants from Ireland and Italy, Sicily, in Syria, and Armenia, was for them to retain their culture. They were the early multiculturalists. they were soundly defeated by assimilationists like Teddy Roosevelt and President Wilson and Louis Brandeis. This has an old pedigree in the United States, unfortunately, of a horse. By the way, Randolph Bourne was a Yankee from New England. He was a moneyed man, and yet he really denigrated his own culture and background. So unfortunately, we have always had these people in America. And she, when I saw her saying that, I was like, oh my God,
mm-hmm.
this woman's either 110 years old, or she's repeating word for word what other people said, and they fail.
So in your book, Next Gen Marxism, What It Is and How to Combat It, you say, and this is well before Mamdani, well, he was on the scene, but, you know, even before he won the primary and now the general a couple of days ago. But you say how the end goal is expropriation, redistribution, central planning, collectivism. We all know that's true. They're working toward nothing less than cultural transformation of the United States, and they have partially succeeded. Have they more than partially succeeded now after this election this week? And then the follow-up, obviously, and you do this in the book, Mike, but how the hell do we stop it? How do we convince younger people in this country that capitalism is the route to go, that the American dream is still alive and thriving, and we have more freedom than any place on the planet, and you should have appreciation for that?
Well, we need a root and branch transformation of the educational system, of the museum system, of the library system, of anything that makes sense, that creates sense. I think President Trump is actually very serious about this.
Yeah. Well, and then, the question there would be, how important is it? This might be rhetorical, Mike Gonzalez, but I think the Republicans' messaging has to be a little different. You know, I had a listener that brought this up. In this whole debate that we're having on the government shutdown and everything that happened in these elections, where were the Republicans talking about? I know they mentioned the big, beautiful bill or whatever the hell they want to call it right now, but how come there weren't people just shouting at the top of their lungs that every American's taxes would go up if you didn't sign that bill? So the marketing, and I know the legacy media has a lot to do with this because maybe they don't amplify that messaging anyway, but you would agree or disagree that the Republicans need to do a better job on combating some of this with the messaging?
I mean, look, obviously, yes, Republicans and Democrats, by the way, let's not forget, this is a zombie-like takeover of the Democrat Party.
Well, that's
by
true.
The Democratic Socialists of America.
Yeah.
They the Democratic Party, for some reason, has allowed this to happen. The government shut down because Chuck Schumer is afraid that a member of the DSA is going to primary him, namely AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. So both Democrats and Republicans need to start making a better argument against this alien force, these aliens who have taken over parasitically the Democratic Party.
Well, you know, we have kooky, nutty, wacky progressives here in St. Louis, but believe it or not, we have more common sense Democrats. And, you know, I'll have my Reardon roundtable, my political roundtable I do on Friday tomorrow with a couple of local Dems who are, you know, they're not crazy, Mike. And they'll be rolling their eyes at this Mamdani stuff and just as confused as some of the rest of us because they don't like it either. Now, again, we have a real progressive member who runs the Board of Aldermen here, and they're cheering it on, and they'd love to transform cities like St. Louis and what Brandon Johnson's doing in Chicago and New York. I'm worried because, you know, these young people are getting sucked up into this idea. This is going to make more people addicted to government. And then you throw AI in the mix and you're a lot of problems that we're probably not talking about enough in this country moving forward.
No, I mean, that's true. I don't know what AI is going to have an impact on it. AI may turn out to be less impactful than we think, but this is a problem. New York City is a world financial hub. A communist, not a Marxist, not a socialist, yes, all those things, but also a communist, is now going to be in charge of it. And no, he can do a lot of damage. Dinkins did a lot of damage.
Yep, it's kind of frightening as we sit here in the middle of the country. Mike, it's always great to have you on. I really appreciate it. Again, the book, which has been out for a while, is called Next Gen Marxism, What It Is, How to Combat It. We'll have you back soon. Thank you, Mike Gonzalez.
Thank you.
All right, take care.
Yes, bye.
I think I mentioned before that I have a son who graduated from Mizzou. He was a teacher in Columbia at Hickman High School, and now he is what I like to call an indoctrinator up on the south side of Chicago in a public school up there. We don't share the same politics. We kind of stay off that topic, but that's not what this is about. He has told me that he's a rarity because he's a male teacher, and male teachers are disappearing from the landscape. And I found it interesting that Scott Venner wrote about this. I saw something in the Federalist and was relatable because of my son and some of the conversations that we've had. He's the director of the B. Kenneth Simon Center for American Studies at the Heritage Foundation and wrote this piece in the Federalist. Scott, how are you? Welcome to 97.1 FM Talk in St. Louis.
Well, I am well. Thank you. How are you doing?
I'm fine, but what you kind of highlighted here, I think, is a pretty serious problem. You kind of run through the numbers here. 30% of elementary teachers were male in 1970. By 2021, the number dips to 11%, and it's not going up, is it?
No, it's been going down. I mean, when you look at an elementary, when you look at schools of education and elementary ed majors within schools of education, you rarely find men. And so I expect the numbers to actually go down.
I don't know that my son's going to make it. He is, you know, overall he will, don't get me wrong, but he's worn out by it, and it's not been a good experience. So I don't know if this takes him to, you know, to get a master's and kind of point toward, you know, academia. I have no idea, but I know that there's frustration here. But when it comes to men disappearing from the landscape, why? I mean, there's a variety of reasons, as you kind of indicate, but what's the best take on this? Or is it just an accumulation of a lot of different factors, Scott?
Yeah, I think that, you know, one thing that people often hang it on is the pay of elementary school teachers. But I think that doesn't hold water because people actually make more money adjusted for inflation now teaching elementary ed than they did in 1970. People say that males don't want to go into that line of work, but the numbers suggest that at least a third of the teachers were elementary were men in elementary schools in 1970. And I think stereotypes and things like that were probably stronger in 1970 before the real advent of feminism than they are today. So I don't think stereotypes or pay are the reasons that men haven't entered the profession. I think the nature of the profession is why. That is, the nature of education has fewer standards, has a lot less discipline. And it's just not as a welcoming environment for male psychology as it was in 1970. So men are less attracted to education that doesn't hold people to standards, and they don't enter it.
Yeah, and you know, this really became clear to me. My son graduated from the University of Missouri right in the aftermath of COVID. So the graduation was, the ceremony was basically on video, and we weren't even in the building. But what I remember is seeing everyone go up there and get their diplomas in his area of focus, which was education. And it was like young lady after young lady after young lady. Oh, there's a guy. Oh, and there's my son. So it really struck me even then about 3 years ago. You talk a little bit about the feminization of schools. Explain what you mean by that.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting at when I say that there's fewer standards, there's less discipline, there's a lot of safetyism, like at recess and things like that. And this is what you'd expect from like female psychology. So they're more interested in being inclusive than holding people to standards. They're more interested in being safe instead of being adventurous. And as schools have changed in those directions, men just don't feel as at home in those institutions. So it stands to reason that they leave them in greater numbers. I don't think there's anything in nature that suggests men can't be elementary teachers, but I do think that there's something in culture that encourages them or discourages them, I should say, from entering the professions. And it's the culture of these institutions that ends up being very feminine.
So,
and that's why they don't enter.
Right. So then when it comes to the students, why does that matter?
Well, because men, especially young boys, need male role models. They need discipline. They want to be held to standards. And it's kind of a disappointment to see people get away with things and not have discipline. So I think it ends up kind of letting the air out of the balloon for young boys in school. And they're a lot less interested in it. They don't see it as a manly activity, and they end up doing worse.
Yeah.
So, you know, it has profound cultural effects, you know, beyond the walls of the school.
Yeah, look, I'm worried about not only male teachers but female teachers because it's getting, you know, more and more difficult. You have obviously a lot of the wokeness that appears in schools. You have people. We just had a proposition here in my school district that failed. So you know, I think teachers are worn out, and you know, they feel like they're getting beat up all the time, maybe even by some people like me on the radio. But you know, the male teacher issue, that you can't really turn that around realistically, Scott. I mean, there's nothing unless you offer some amazing incentives to become a teacher, but I don't see that trend's going to reverse itself.
Yeah, I mean, one thing that has happened in some places, we're getting more single-sex schools. There's, for instance, in North Carolina, in Charlotte, North Carolina, next year the Catholic schools are offering single-sex alternatives. One thing that we found is that when you look at single-sex, male-only schools, men will actually want to teach in those schools because they end up having a kind of discipline and hold people to standards and a culture that is more likely to attract men. And the four biggest single-sex schools around the country have staffs that are over 75% male.
Wow.
So it definitely can still happen, but it needs to be a contrived environment these days.
Yeah, yeah. You said schools that infantilize boys do not interest male teachers, right?
Yeah, that's a great line, isn't it? I think I should get sort of a prize for that one.
I like that one, too. Scott, great to have you on. I really appreciate it. It's an important topic.
All right, thanks for having me.
All right, we'll see you. So do you remember, I was thinking back to my elementary school, and I don't think I had a male teacher in elementary school.
I
actually had the same teacher for kindergarten and first grade, Mrs. Drummond. She was awesome. Then I don't remember all of them, but I do remember in junior high and then definitely in high school, male teachers.
Yeah, they kicked in middle school and high school, but I did not have one in
elementary school. I can't even think of a male that was a teacher in the elementary school. Mm-hmm. This would have been 1970 when I started, in elementary school.
Yeah, the principal, of course, was male.
Right. Well, of course. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's not necessarily the case, certainly, anymore. Look, I have, and I don't know what to do about it because all I do here is blab on the radio, but I have some serious, serious questions about, where education is with these young kids, in particular in the aftermath of COVID. Even smaller things like, look, my daughter's in a good school district, right? And she's got great teachers and great support, but even in the teacher conference that we had last week, there's some reading comprehension issues that are evident to these teachers, and they kind of trace it back to COVID. Well, that's in a good school district, right?
I know.
So
imagine.
These kids.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. 1. It's $15 a month. 2. Seriously, it's $15 a month. 3. No big contracts. 4. I use it. 5. My mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's, and you know, so my daughter's in a situation in her classroom, if I understand it correctly, they're not behind, right? But they're not ahead right now.
Right.
And then you think about the kids who are behind, and how do you get that? So the implications of the things that we did to these children, it really are. And then you throw in all these other things, and it becomes quite a challenge. You know, I probably need to dig into a little bit more. Some of the methods change and how they teach math, et cetera. And not all the teachers are always comfortable with that. So there's dynamics that change. Mm-hmm. I'll be very curious to see. And, you know, my son's going to be in town here in a few weeks for Thanksgiving. He is definitely going to, you know, go the rest of the year. I think he may have indicated he might try one more year at this school. But it's tough and he's not happy. And, you know, I've been at jobs, only a couple of them in my entire life. One of the reasons I do what I do, Sue, is because I had this real brief stretch in Chicago in 1987. I think I've told you about this. I worked for U.S. Sprint, and I did.
That's right.
I did customer service, which, when you think about it, me doing customer service, that's hilarious.
That's something,
right? But I was living with my aunt and uncle at the time, and there was a girlfriend involved. And what I remember though is I hated the job. Like, despite all the fun I was having, in, you know, I was in my 20s, so I was having a pretty good time in the city of Chicago, and I lived real close to the city, so it was a quick 20-minute drive downtown, and had a lot of fun. But I would get up every morning when I had to go to that job, and I just felt sick to my stomach. I'm like, do I really have to? I hated it. I hated it with a passion.
Good.
And you can't, you know, get up every morning and not look forward. I know some people do it, and there's the grind, but I'm a firm believer in doing something you have a passion for. And let's face it, teachers do that because they're not trying to make all the money in the world because that's not possible. They do it because they have a passion for it.
And what grade does he teach?
He's like seventh grade at this point.
Middle school,
yeah,
I think, is
school.
A real toughie.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think that that's what he's experienced. But I'm looking forward to having conversations with him in a few weeks just to see kind of where, you know,
where
his
brain
is and what he's thinking. Look, both my kids have challenges. Evan is in the restaurant industry and his girlfriend, mm-hmm. but with raising a child, that's not the easiest business to be in,
mm-mm.
right? So lots of challenges for everyone. Coming back here. Well, Sue, I don't know if you're aware of this devastating news that came out earlier today, but Nancy Pelosi has announced that she's retiring.
I truly loved serving as your voice in Congress. And I've always honored the song of St. Francis, Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace, the anthem of our city. That is why I want you, my fellow San Franciscans, to be the first to know. I will not be seeking re-election to Congress.
I thought she'd already made that decision. I guess what she had decided is that she was, you know, stepping out of the speaker's race, which is why Hakeem Jeffries is, you know, top command in the House and would be speaker. She's 85 years old. She's the first and only female House speaker. She will have represented San Francisco in Congress for 39 years when she leaves office. So, of course, you had this from earlier this week.
It's just a vile creature. The worst thing on the face of the earth, but anyway.
You think he's the worst thing on the face of the earth?
I do, yeah. I do.
Why is that?
Because he's the president of the United States and he does not honor the Constitution of the United States. In fact, he's turned the Supreme Court into a rogue court. He's abolished the House of Representatives.
I don't even know what that means, abolish the House of Representatives. So then, you know, they're not exactly going to be trading Christmas cards this year, Trump and Pelosi.
I think she did the country a great service by retiring. I think she was a tremendous liability for the country.
And on Dick Cheney.
I thought she was an evil woman who did a poor job, who cost the country a lot in damages and in reputation. I thought she was terrible.
So I don't disagree with any of that. But, you know, I don't want to be ageist or anything like that here. But my goodness, she's 85 years old. You have a Democrat from New Jersey in Bill Pascrell, who's 86. Hal Rogers of Kentucky is 85. Maxine Waters is 85. Steny Hoyer, who is a Democrat from Maryland, is 84 years old. We know about, you know, Mitch McConnell. Chuck Grassley is super old. I mean, some of these people, I'm sorry, I'm in the camp right now that says, let's not go into a member of Congress or the Senate into their 80s, right? So Chuck Grassley's 90 years old. And I guess Dianne Feinstein was the oldest before she died in September of 2023. Is that being ageist to say I want younger members in both parties, by the way? I'm not just picking on Democrats.
I don't know if it is. Fresh blood would not hurt.
Well, you get to a point. I mean, seriously, think about the 39 years represent. Now, people in San Francisco, they had a choice, but you become that powerful in politics and you amass that amount of money from donations, and it's hard to kick you out of, you know, office for sure. That's what kind of became, you know, very unique here with Cori Bush when Lacey Clay got booted out, because I'm not comparing Lacey with Nancy Pelosi, but it was a pretty big political name, certainly here in St. Louis, because of his father. And then, you know, he's just completely caught off guard. I think one thing is they took that for granted a little bit. They didn't see the progressives coming. But Nancy Pelosi's been able to last all those years, and it'll be very interesting to see when she, I mean, will she survive until next year? That's the other thing. They all announced their retirement, since it's not till next year. So she's not really giving it up until early 27.
The only concern I have is these people could be replaced by actual progressives.
Well, and they probably will be.
And that's going to be a game changer as well.
In San Francisco, I think you're probably likely to have that. But, I mean, come on. Could it be any worse than Nancy Pelosi? I'd ask that question.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
At City Harvest, we believe no New Yorker has to go hungry. With your help, we're on the road every day, rescuing over 86 million pounds of nutritious food and delivering it free to millions of New Yorkers, transforming surplus food into sustenance, sustainability, and smiles, rallying thousands of New Yorkers to power a network of nourishment across our city. Feed good for our communities, our city, and our planet. Donate at cityharvest.org.